All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a four-time All-Star catcher, a 10-year MLB career, an analyst now for the Action Network, also an analyst on I'll Take That Bet, and host of the podcast Embrace the Sweat. In other words, lots of things going on for him. And then you've got the 150th Belmont Stakes on Saturday. We're going to cover all that right now with Paul LaDuca. Paul, it's great to have you on the program. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you been, man? Been a long time.
It's been a long time, bud. Good to have you back. Paul, thank you very much. You know, your roots in gambling, Paul, go back a little bit to when you were a kid and your father was involved. Let me start right there. How did you first get involved?
Well, you know, it was just engraved. You know, my father always used to take me to the racetrack when I was a kid, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and somewhere in that area. And, you know, I was always going to the arcade, didn't really know what was going on until you know, my dad would hit big, and then I would sort of know, and then started to learn the sport more and more. And then when my father started owning horses, I started to go to the backside and get to learn more about them, and then to learn more of the personalities of them. And it then changed my mindset. And then it turned into, you know, I always had the gambling part in my background, but then it turned into, wow, I really love these animals and this sport. And, you know, my dad was always wagering on games and stuff like that. So we were always in a household wondering who was going to cover the spread. My dad always used to say, it doesn't matter who wins or loses, it's who collects the bet.
Paul LaDuca joining us on the program. It's a great story. So you got the Belmont Stakes, Paul, coming up. And I know that's a race that has meant a lot to you for a long time. In fact, growing up, your dad used to tell you one story after another about the Belmont. What are some of the ones that stick out to you the most?
Well, the Secretariat story is the one that sticks out the most to me. Obviously, he's the most famous racehorse that, you know, a common person or anybody that's not really in horse racing knows. He's actually one of the top 50 athletes, considering he's a horse of all time. You know, my father was there that day, and him and Sham obviously were the two horses that were, you know, the main two rivals, and they were dueling in the first quarter of that 1973 Belmont, and people were yelling at Ron Turcotte. My father said he was looking around, and people were yelling, even himself. And then when Secretariat started pulling clear, he said he looked around and he saw tears. He said people were crying, you know, 100,000 people. And, you know, growing up in Brooklyn and all of his friends to be able to witness that, that was a story. I was 1 year old, you know, and for him to be there for that day, he always says that's, you know, one, besides being getting married to my mother, that was his best day ever to get to see a horse like that because, you know, he was just such a big fan.
Paul LaDuca joining us on the program. You know, Paul, I know exactly what you're talking about. You and I understand this. Horse people understand this, but you're talking about this like the way some people would talk about any NFL game or NBA game or Major League Baseball game that means so much to them. I know exactly what you're talking about. Then you come to the 99 Belmont Stakes, and at that time, you were in AAA playing for Albuquerque. You were rehabbing a broken hand. You and your father were talking about the field in the Belmont. What do you remember about that conversation, and what was the bet that you decided on that day?
Well, what happened was, Jim, my father had a heart attack on May 9th. Okay, so he had it just after the Derby that year. And we were more concerned about him. We were really more concerned about the Preakness. We were not concerned about anything. I had broke my hand, about a month into the season. So I'm on rehab assignment. So now his doctor tells him, okay, you're allowed to bet now. You know, we don't want your heart to be racing too much. Make sure you take your medication. So I'm like, okay, so we get on the phone. We always get on the phone before every big race day. And you know what those are, the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup. So we always talk. And Charismatic was going for the Triple Crown for Dwayne Lucas. And then, obviously, we both had liked a horse More Than Ready. And, Lemon Drop Kid. And at the end of the conversation, you know, my father goes, hey, I really like this new trainer, Bill Mott. And I'm like, okay, I like this horse, Vision and Verse. And I'm like, okay, Pop, you know, he hadn't played in so long or whatever. The horse, I looked at horse 51, and I'm like, it's one of those things, Jim, when you go, I'm not even going to ask him why. I'm like, I can't talk a guy, and I always say this, you never talk somebody off a long, long, long shot. I mean, because if they come in, you don't want to deal with it.
Right.
And you can talk somebody off a favorite and be like, okay, listen, we're not going to make that money. So what we did is we boxed Vision and Verse, Lemon Drop Kid. We threw Charismatic. It was going for the Triple Crown and two other horses. So now I'm on rehab assignment in Albuquerque. Well, the lights go out in the stadium. We have a power outage. Okay? Now, payphones existed back in 1999. I go outside. I'm dialing my dad's number. I'm getting no answer. Nothing. So it's going out throughout the night. I got to start the game. And it's now 6:37, right in the area. The lights come back on. Everything comes back on. But in 1999, there's really no bottom line. There's no way of getting on the internet in a clubhouse. Now I got to play the game of finding who won the Belmont. No one cares who won the Belmont in 1999 in a AAA stadium. So I play the game. Still on the way home, I don't have a cell phone. I get home, I walk in my door, and the local news is saying big upset at the Belmont, and it's showing Lemon Drop Kid in Vision Verse. I dropped my keys. So I get on a rotary phone, which I had in my apartment in Albuquerque, and call my father. He finally picks up the phone. I'm like, you've been warning me all day. What is going on? He's like, you're not going to believe this. I took so much medicine, I slept through the whole race.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, what do you mean? I go, check the account. He goes, what do you mean?
He had no idea.
We both slept through the Belmont, and we hit for 15,000, Jim. That's the only time I've never watched a Triple Crown race or my father. I couldn't watch it. My father slept through it. We both didn't watch it. We always tell that story, like, should we never watch the race again if we bet together?
Yeah, right. That's incredible, Paul. Like, and keep in mind, this is 1999. I mean, you literally can't get the result of something. Could you imagine not being able to get the result of any game or any matchup? This was 1999, not 1929, and your pops napped it out and you hit big. I mean, this is the thing. This is what people have, these amazing stories. So that brings us to this weekend. Paul LaDuca, my guest. Paul, let me ask you about Justify. You've been watching Justify in the Derby, the Preakness. You've seen him. He didn't run as a 2-year-old. You've seen all his races. As a 3-year-old, what impresses you the most about this animal, and do you think he gets it done?
Well, I think the mind on the animal. I respect Mike so much. I know you know Mike Smith, too. He's ridden for you in some big races, too, Jim, so... When I've talked to Mike about him, he says the mind on the horse is unbelievable. He's so smart. And that's the same things we used to hear about. You hear that all about the great horses. Your horse, Misdirection. You hear that about American Pharoah. American Pharoah was brilliantly smart. He was like 70 people come around him. He was like a dog. And here was this champion horse that had the killer instinct on the racetrack. But when you took him off the racetrack, you could have a 2-year-old pet him. And he says Justify is a lot like this. He's very smart, knows what's going on, and he really feels he's puffing up and getting better and better. And here's the thing. I do think he gets it done, and the reason why is you can maybe put an asterisk next to it. But listen, the second choice in this race would have been Audible, by far, not even close. But in the game of horse racing, you have same owners. Windstar Farm and China Horse Club, they own Justify. Windstar Farm and China Horse Club, they own Audible. They're not going to run the same horse, their own horse against the other horse to ruin their Triple Crown. So that is going to help Justify big time, but he still has to deal with it. You know, every time you think they're a lock, you know the way it is, especially after they win the first two, everybody thinks they're a lock when it comes to Belmont. There's usually a hiccup, but I just think there's nobody in there that can beat him.
Paul LaDuca joining us. I mean, it is such a big ask. It's a tough thing. Hey, Paul, help me with this. You know what it's like to try to talk horse racing to the stick and ball crowd. I mean, back in the day, without banging my audience over the head, I tried to explain to them how special a horse shared belief was and what he meant to me. But, you know, a lot of times they don't want to hear it. They don't give a damn. Take it someplace else, roam. I think you can help me out here. You saw all of his races. You were on hand for some of his biggest races. If I can get you to just take a look back, when you think about Shared Belief, who passed away at 4 when he had colic, what are the memories you have of that horse? What did you think about that horse?
Wow, man, I got chills already. I think people forget that he went by California Chrome like he was tied to a tree. And, he was definitely a champion. It's a shame. I always wanted to call you, and I never didn't know when to. He was a Cadillac, Jim. He lowered so many horses. There's so many different horses. We talk about this in different sports. You know, LeBron James, everybody always talks about LeBron James being a freak. Well, how about his IQ? Dwight Howard's a freak. How come he doesn't do what he does? You know, how come there's this and that? Sure, believe had an IQ, and he lowered himself like a Cadillac. You could physically see him lower himself down and sort of stride out wanting to go by you. I truly feel that he could have done even more. I mean, they anoint California Chrome, like I said, as a champion, and then they anoint Arrowgate, who went by him too, but they don't forget about your own shared belief. And it was a shame, because I truly believe he was the next coming, and he could have been that next best older horse. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. And I think a lot of people don't realize in horse racing, I say this a lot. I hit against Randy Johnson and 30,000 people. I hit against Adam Wainwright in Game 7 in an NLCS, or to get to the World Series and what. And I wasn't as nervous doing my horse runs. And it's because it's out of your control. You cannot control it. But when they win, man, and you know it, it's the most exhilarating thing in the world.
It's so well said. What a great analogy. And Paul, I appreciate you. I really appreciate your thoughts on that. That means a lot to me. And you're right. We used to talk about that, right? He would lower himself to the ground, and he just knew. He just knew. Listen, you've got a podcast, you and Jeff Schwartz, and he's a great dude. You have a podcast called Embrace the Sweat. I know what that means. For those who don't, what does that mean, and how's that podcast going?
Well, Embrace the Sweat is basically, listen, gambling now, obviously, becoming legal everywhere. We want to educate people, two former players. We're not going to blow smoke. We're not going to try to tout you and give you picks. We're giving you picks here and there and try to educate you ways to wager. Because I don't want people to jump into the sports betting and wagering all this stuff on certain guys this, certain guys that. I'm trying to give you my knowledge of what I know on baseball. Jeff has given his knowledge, what he knows on football. And then the gist of it is, a lot of it is stories. Like the stories we've been telling. Jeff's got so many great stories. I got so many great stories. Guys like you that we wanted to like get on the podcast have great stories of bad beats or good beats, even if it's not a gambling story or not. We talked to Mike Smith. He was our first guest, and he talked about his bad beat being Zenyatta for a lot of horse racing people, going for 20 in a row, losing by a nose. So the first episode was great. And you're right, Jeff is great. He wears so many hats, but he's got a tremendous NFL opinion. And listen, he was in the trenches for 10 years as an offensive lineman, so he's very knowledgeable.
Paul LaDuca, an analyst on the Action Network now, also an analyst on I'll Take That Bet, and the host of the podcast, Embrace the Sweat, and you've got the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. Hey, Paul, so good to get caught up. Really appreciate you. What a great conversation, man. That was so much fun. Have a great weekend. Let's make sure we do it again soon, and I really do appreciate your thoughts on Share Belief, Paul. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for having me on, man. Anytime.
That was a blast. Paul LaDuca joining us to wrap hour number one. Listen, if it feels like we're talking a little more about gambling on the program, it's because we are. It's going to be legalized. You can legally bet on sports. And I'm really curious about how that's going to change things. How we cover sports, how we watch sports, what the professional leagues do with it now, how it affects ratings, how much money's involved. It's now a very big thing.